Nah, we all good.
We all good.
We all good. So, have it, everyone. Let's go. All right. So, like I said, I don't do introductions, but we are on the DC Incentives podcast.
What a liar!
You
don't do introductions.
I don't do. I don't do any more. I don't do like this is episode. No, I don't do that anymore, everyone.
That's what I said.
So, everyone, we have a special guest here.
Very special.
Very special. Nairon's going to behave himself today.
Absolutely.
Doesn't seem so.
So please introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Strangers, because we don't do introductions. I guess we'll do that later.
Well, my name is Diamond Cash. This is TC.
Hi,
and
TC.
This is Nairon.
Nairon. Right, right. Well, I'm LaQuanya Goodman. HR. Otherwise, and I am HR, so that's really interesting.
Wait,
I actually am. Yeah. Now to flip script, right? But I'm LaQuanya Goodman, otherwise known as LaQuanya G. Thank you for having me, gentlemen and lady.
All right. So talk about. You said you are HR.
Yeah, that's my profession. So I'm human resources. Yes.
Okay, so you the one that writes the paperwork, and you be like, you getting written up for this.
I've done disciplinary, labor relations, all that stuff. So I'm super to much HR, but I'm not in that role right now. So I'm in the operations role right now, more management.
So first, let's talk about you.
Okay,
like who you are, and growing up, and the person who you are today.
Okay, that's a loaded question. So I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Bed-Stuy. I was born and raised in Bed-Stuy. I'm a 1980s baby. So I just turned 41 this year. So we was born in those tumultuous times. Us 40-year-old people, we lived through some shit, right? just being born in the Reagan era and all the things that came after that. I'm a mom of twins. They're 12. They turned 12 last month. And I have a master's degree in public administration, an associate's degree in African-American studies, as well as criminal justice, a bachelor's degree in public administration and judicial studies. And I work in human resources, mainly in city government and nonprofit labor relations organizations.
Wow. Okay. A lot of words. Wow.
But that's not why you brought me here. You brought me here about Sunday school.
Yes.
So one of my labor of loves is a financial literacy platform that I started with my financial mentor, Charles, who is behind me, that's called Sunday School.
What inspired you to do that in the first place?
So during the pandemic, okay, let's just start from the beginning. I always had this, I wanted to learn shit that wasn't being taught to us, but I couldn't figure out how to learn it. Like, I see that I had family. We grew up in a brownstone, but, like, eventually we would lose homes, right? We you know, Bed-Stuy used to be a black utopia before it became gentrified, where most people owned their homes and they owned the businesses, the corner stores. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the crack epidemic happen and how that just wiped all of it out. I mean, I literally seen it with my own two eyes, how it changed my neighborhood, how it really changed my life, right? Mm-hmm. And I saw that the parents who worked so hard to have these homes, their children became addicted to crack. And then the parents die, and then they leave their stuff, and now these kids don't know how to take these kids who are now adults, loses the property, right? And then the vultures come in, right? The Jewish people, the Asian people, the conglomerates, they come in and they take the property, and now you have what Bed-Stuy is today, right? It's not really a community. It's a lot of white people. These multi-million dollar homes were being stolen for $40,000, so they'll come over to you with a suitcase full of money, and it's $50,000, and you've never seen $50,000 before, so you thinking, oh, shit, I'm about to, I hit it big, right? But you just give up your $2 million house, right? So, it was things that I wanted to learn, and I didn't understand the concept of it and why we think like that. And why don't we leave wills? Because we lost family homes because my uncle didn't leave a will, and now we lost that house. It's a $6 million house that we don't have in a family. And then if we do keep it in the family, why can't we maintain it? Why don't we understand these things? Mm-hmm. So these are questions I've been asking myself throughout my whole life, but it was nobody around to really give me any information. Now, during that time, my eldest uncle, he taught me about how to save money, right? He would tell me, pay yourself first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he got me my first job at the library. I had to be about 16. And that was something that I adopted, right? Save your money so it saves you. Kwana, save your money so it saves you, right? No one else was teaching me that, but that's a concept that he gave me. So he kind of planted the seed. And then I just think I started taking steps towards wanting to learn more. And so opportunities started coming to me. I met Charles real happenstance. I had just got kind of fed up with not knowing about stocks. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to learn stocks myself. Mm-hmm. So I started investing on Cash App. Because it's easy, right? Yeah. I was making little investments, and then I had a
stock account myself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I had met one guy at a party. We started talking about money. It was mad weird. I'm drunk at a fete and talking about money. it just kind of led into me eventually meeting Charles. So that's how we came to the financial literacy courses. And also, personally, life would have been a lot easier if I had money. I would have made a better choices if I understood money in my 20s.
When
I was 17.
Lives.
She's shushing you because you interrupted me. But life would have been easier if I had money. That's what y'all can handle him. He's no problem. But life would have been easier if I had money. I don't know.
Oh, God.
I don't know about all that.
I can't.
I am well behaved. You sure?
I'm positive.
I think you are being well behaved.
Thank you. Thank
for the moment.
Oh, don't flatter him.
You showed up and I was flattered, but that's another conversation.
That's a strong one. I like that one.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay.
By the way, can we go? It's okay if we go Instagram Live. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I was watching you guys a little bit from in there.
Let's go.
And I just tagged y'all in the. I understand how the grab works.
Okay. So So you learned about financial literacy. And I want to go back real quick for our audience. What is a will?
Ooh. What is a will? So a will
Chris
is
Rock
real.
At the Oscars?
That's a Will Smith.
Oh, Will Smith. That is a Will Smith, not a will.
And his will was done.
Okay.
Right? So what is a will? Will really is just a document of your final wishes. You know, that's what it is. You want it to be a legally binding document, right? You want it to be signed by a lawyer and all of the stuff. But it's just a document of your final wishes, where you want your things to go when you leave the earth and to whom.
Mm-hmm. So when Sunday school came into place, right? When you created Sunday school, which is that's your baby.
Yeah.
So what made you think that, all right, I want to create something for people that's about financial literacy, and like, what's the ultimate goal for Sunday school?
Financial fellowship through information, because that's what happened to me. So I wasn't paying Charles to teach us stuff, right? He just did it because he wanted us to learn, right? So I thought that was really admirable, because you can keep all this information for yourself, but it's not going to help the greater good, right? Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. Also, just being a black woman and a single mom and all that stuff and having friends like me, money helps. Mm-hmm. And these little gems that I was being taught, it really helped me. Like, I paid off my car like 2 years early. Like, you know, little stuff like that. And these little money knowledge things can really help in your life. So that was the whole basis of Sunday school. I wanted people to get this information and apply it to where you need to.
Okay, that's pretty much similar to, you know, our podcast. Mm-hmm. Yo, can we collaborate?
We absolutely can.
So Sunday school, is that a business?
You know, I'm not profiting off of it. No.
Okay. But you could if you want to.
I mean, if I really sat down and start thinking about some ways to profit off of it, and we've talked about it, I could, you know. I also got a lot of shit going on, right? So It's not profitable, but it definitely has the potential to be.
Okay. And I know your goal is to induce financial literacy to those who don't have it, but do you? And I know you guys are like real recent. How long have you guys been open?
We hit 1 year actually this month. We hit 1 year.
Oh, so then it might be a little overzealous to ask this question, but do you already have any sort of success stories? People that took your Sunday school?
Yeah, because we started off as a... So Sunday school is kind of like a subgroup, because we started off with a group called All Stars. We were learning about stocks and stuff together, and then we met Charles and his financial literacy group, and we would meet on Thursdays, and then from there, Sunday school was born. So it's been success stories. We have one of my childhood friends. We met as teenagers. We were freshmen together in college. She's getting ready to start a childhood financial literacy app, you know, and she's just, again, applying things that we learned that fits for her goals, right? Okay. I think we get caught up in having to do things this way. You don't have to do things this way or that way. You could do shit your way. You could just take things that you're learning and apply it for what you want, and that's was one of the success stories. And we have people who are just doing their own thing, trading Forex and making money. It's not my thing, but it's your thing. And you learned it within the group. You got exposed to it, and now you want to use it for what you work, what works for you. So we got a couple of success stories from it. Yeah.
And, and in your financial literacy journey, what's the most profound thing that you've learned about finances so far?
Little changes make a big difference. Yeah, little changes make a big difference. Paying yourself first is important. The four pillars of wealth, and Charles is going to, because I'm kind of on the spot, I may forget it, so I might be going to try to say all four of them. But paying yourself first, sending your money out to grow is a major thing, right? So investing in yourself is important. We often, especially as Black people, we just so used to working and living in trauma, and like that shit is normal.
I mean, that's 400 years of slavery.
Yeah, but again, it speaks to what Sam was speaking about early. Even the whole complexion thing, it's a mentality. We act like trauma is normal.
Yeah.
Like we act like we are not supposed to live in abundance. Mm-hmm. Yo, I want to fly somewhere and I want to go first class. I ain't said Diddy because I want to sit first class. I work hard. I want to sit first class.
Exactly. And I want to sit with you. Exactly. So again, financially literate enough.
Get your coins up, started, and you gotta buy two. Well, four, because I got kids. So get your coins up first, and we'll talk about it.
I like you already.
Yo!
That's a hell of a response.
Yo!
You was ready too. She makes no time.
My wallet was open, and then all of a sudden, it closed.
Yeah, you know, that's how you get there. Right?
So you said you paid off your car 2 years early. Yeah. Is that an example of saving little?
That was an example of a very, very small investment. So I'll just share. I've been doing some research on stocks, right? Mm-hmm. And this was right at the beginning of the pandemic. So just in what I would call common sense knowledge, because I'm not a financially
suave person.
Right. Mm-hmm. So common sense, right? I'm like, all right. This pandemic shit is happening. This coronavirus shit is happening. We know that the pharmaceutical companies is coming in with something.
Yes.
Right? So I was looking into Intuitive Surgical, and they're one of the big providers for surgical equipment, right?
Okay.
And they were like really, really low during the pandemic. But I figured these hospitals going to be full. They're going to be buying surgical equipment. So I made a very small investment of like $200 on Cash App. And I bought like 3 shares with that $200.
Okay.
And within like 18 months, it really, really grew because the hospital was filled up and they were using it. Like, is it kind of bad to think that way? No, but this is how the others make money, right?
You kind of doing it right. Capitalist society.
Right. So I'm like, well.
You're playing the game.
And that's what happened. So I ended up cashing out not even all my shares, a portion of my shares, and I was able to pay my car off early. And this was just like a very small investment.
I don't want to get to your wallet or anything, but how much did that $200 turn into?
None of your beeswax, but it was able to pay off a big bill and I didn't have to worry about it anymore.
I love you. Hold on.
Rich, you got to get in line. You got to get in line.
Okay, so we behave, Nyron.
No, fine. No, so because I do a little bit of stocks myself.
Good.
And I bought a perfect example. The first stock I ever bought was DocuSign, and I bought it in 2020.
You said DocuSign.
That's a good one.
You say that's a good one. Let me tell you my horror story. So I bought one share of DocuSign.
That's
for $191 United States dollars.
Right.
And for about a year and a half, it just went up and up and up. That 191 turned into like 360 something. Right? And I felt like Warren Buffett for a little bit.
Okay.
And I don't know what happened, but in October the stock just dipped. It went from being worth like $300 to $90.
That happens.
I know it happens, but then I felt like the biggest jackass in the world. So I guess the real question I have for you is, when you did your research to put your $200 into your stock, what made you confident to put your money there? And what gave you the knowledge to know when to take your money out?
Oh, nothing made me confident to do it. I literally just was like, let's just see what happens. Because I was like, I could risk $200, right? Mm. Also, I'm counting my coins. I don't want to risk more than I can lose. So exactly. So that's kind of how I gauge things. Mm-hmm. And then I was watching it for a minute, too. I was noticing the dips. I'm watching the charts on it. I'm noticing, okay, it's dipping down around this time. It goes up around this time. So that's how I kind of gauge on how to pull it out, mm-hmm. right? And I wanted to leave some in because I wanted to catch that next dip up. Right?
But when you take you're losing like something about it.
So this is one thing I learned in Sunday school, right?
Okay.
So one of the members of Sunday school, she does taxes. And I had got burnt on the, what's that? The GameStop and the AMC deal, right?
Yeah.
I'm still pissed about that because I had bought AMC when it was like $5 a share.
I did too.
Right?
So I bought one share of AMC for like $15, and when that whole thing happened, it went up to 70
cents. Yeah, so that didn't happen to me. So I bought it for like $5 a share, and I was watching it for like 2 years, and I'm like, man, the industry ain't coming back, and Corona ruined everything. Gonna be no movie theater. I'm pulling out, and like 3 months later, woo.
Everybody
rich. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn. Right? But what I learned on one of the ladies who does taxes at Sunday school, I pulled out too early anyway. She's like, when you put in some stocks, you need to leave it in there for at least a year and a half, because if you pull it out too early, you're going to pay taxes on the back end.
Wow.
So, see?
Okay.
So, you know, the stock market, like anything, it's a gamble, right? You know, you just kind of figure out, you got to study it, you know, when to pull it and when to pull out of it.
Okay. So let's. When you talk about AMC, GameStop, and when you get into stocks, did you learn about the meme stock and what is long-term stock?
Again, it's about gauging. So I do have some things that I would consider long-term that are on different platforms.
Okay.
Like short-term investments, I could put that on a Cash App. I don't really do Robinhood because I don't really like how they operate morally. But so short-term investments I have on one platform, long-term investments on another. So what I say is long-term is something I will leave in my will, something that I kind of buy all the time because I want hundreds and hundreds of shares of it over time. Mm-hmm. That would be the Teslas, right? That would be the Apples. I'm waiting for this split again to happen because that's going to be the Google. So these are like more timeless things. Pepsi, Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. You know, so you look for I look for timeless things for long-term investments.
So for our listeners out there, she just gave a gem to what to buy long-term.
If that's what you want to do, right? So right now, one of my long-term sleepers is blockchains. And I don't know if you guys ever follow Tall Guy Tycoon on Instagram.
No.
You should. I made some money with him. and I just follow him. He has said last year about blockchain. Blockchain is the ledgers that they use to keep your cryptocurrency records, so to speak. Okay. Right? I guess that's the most simple way that I can explain it, that I understand it to be. So I'm not really into cryptocurrency. I'm still trying to understand it, but I still want to make some money off of it. So he was like, you need to invest in blockchains. Invest in blockchain. So I started looking into it. It was like $7 a share. So I bought a few shares of it. Now it's up to like $55 a share. And in the past year, I've never seen it going down past 40. Mm-hmm. So that's something I'll keep buying a little bit of over time, because that's something that's looked like it's here to stay, and that would be like a long-term investment.
Yeah.
So let's see if I want to see if you can answer this question. If not, I'm going to ask Charles this question. Why is it that because we live in New York... that we cannot invest in certain apps like crypto.com and other apps?
I don't know. That is a Charles question. Because I'm thinking that would be something about regulations.
Yes.
I don't know. Okay. You know, they got a lot of tricks, these people. So that's definitely a Charles question.
And when you make your investments and they turn out well, do you ever think, man, can you imagine if I put like $1,000 in instead of just
all the time, yo.
So
all
then
the
what
time.
Stops you from making a big investment the next time?
Well, because now I have different risk. Like, if I knew this stuff before I was a parent, I'd have been throwing all my money into it when I was, like, doing coat checks somewhere downtown Brooklyn outside when I fresh out of college. But I didn't have the knowledge at 22 because no one was there to teach it to me.
Yeah.
Right? So if I could stop another 22-year-old who getting some knowledge because they jumped on Sunday school and I sparked something in them, then I'm helping out. Like, my kids are getting it. That's the best I could do right now.
There are people to this day who don't know how to open a bank account, how to write a check.
Yeah, nope. A lot of people don't know.
Well,
how to do
a lot
that.
Of okay. So, like, it's like even with my family. So I started this organization, what an organization, this platform. My family's not on it because financial literacy isn't something that is interesting to people. Yeah. But everybody want to be rich, right?
Especially as black folks,
right? Yes. Right, right. Mm-hmm. Everybody want to do the work. Everybody want the reward, but nobody wants to do the fucking work. So it's like you complain about being broke, but as soon as you get paid, you doing this, you doing that, and. Listen, I call myself a super saver spender, okay? Mm. If I see some $300 dunks and I really want them, I'm fucking getting them, right? Oh, yeah, if I want to fly somewhere, I'm getting it. But yeah. I save my money first. All right. I pay my bills first. All right. And then I could do what I need to do. So, you know, it's the mentality. Same thing as Sam was saying. And it could go back from slavery and how we just don't think well of ourselves. And it turns into so many other things. It turns into your dating life, I see, with money. You know, these guys who aren't financially secure with themselves, they don't really date well, because men, technically, you're a provider. That is your genetic makeup, right? Yeah. You're a conqueror. Yeah. So if you feel a way because I'm making more coins than you, and I want to go out, and I don't want to sit, I don't want to be on a Greyhound, son. I want to fly. Like, I'm supposed to stop what I'm doing because you're not financially stable. You feel a way. It just turns into so many things when you don't have your money straight.
But what happens if a man makes more? What happens if a man makes less than you, though?
It doesn't matter how much you make. It doesn't matter about how you carry yourself. You got to be good with it, though. That's what I'm saying. It's about your thing. If you make less than me, first of all, why are we talking about how much you make? If we're not trying to build a family together, I don't want to know how much you make. As long as you can maintain yourself.
That was a ball.
And you're not asking me for nothing, we're good.
I think it's how you got to count for.
That was a ball.
Right.
That was a ball.
You always got to count for the twins on the plane tickets, man.
Okay. Right? My life is good. I can provide the life for myself. As long as you ain't trying to eat off my plate.
Exactly.
We good, okay? So we're not gonna be like, oh, I just don't try to eat off my plate. All right, we're good.
Share plates.
Depends on where we are with it.
How are we? Are we in share plates mode?
No, you and I? No, we are definitely not.
All right, so we're like in split bill territory. Like if we went to IHOP,
bro, guess your man.
We're not walk outside together in public territory. Ouch, so ouch. We're here.
Work in progress. I heard work
you know
in progress.
What?
Your man's get your
we're
man's
here.
TC.
We're here.
We are a work in progress.
We're,
get your man's
here.
TC.
We're here.
I'm
here.
Off
we're
today.
Here.
Actually, Xavier, get your man's, please.
Listen, I appreciate his tenacity. You know, he's trying to come in with different angles, you know.
So as somebody who is young, handsome, black, and single, when you invest,
keep it to the topic, please.
What kind of investments am I trying to make?
Are you talking about yourself or something?
I don't know.
I wasn't talking about myself. I'm saying,
so I'm about to say
if you happen to be young, black, handsome, like myself, and single,
okay, right?
Maybe like myself, and you invest. Like, what kind of investment should you be looking for? Should you be looking for more risks?
I think even handsome, non-single people.
Not like myself.
Not like yourself, not like okay? You know should what? Be looking for investments that best suit their goals. So your financial goals could be whatever you want. Not everyone's looking to be a millionaire. For me, I don't think that I'm going to really reap the fruits of all of my labors. It's mostly going to go to my children and my grandchildren. At least that's what my thinking is. So your investment should be on what you want your goals to be.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
What?
What was that?
IHOP is my goal.
Oh, okay. You going to own some IHOPs?
No. We're talking about the IHOP meal and how we're going to split.
Excuse me.
Listen.
Keep it to the top.
When you got HR in the background saying,
get her own HR.
Get her own HR. She get all y'all in line. Right? I'm her deputy.
She getting you in
Like I said, she HR, y'all. So listen, the one in the background, her name is Xavier. She is HR for this whole podcast.
Thank you, Xavier.
I'm sorry for the audience.
Not wrong.
That's my opinion.
Keep it to topic.
All right. I was thinking to investments. I wanted to invest in IHOP.
Next question. All right. Let's go back to when you was talking about Will's the four pillars. What I've learned personally is the five pillars: finance, faith, family, finance, faith, family, and I'm missing two, but it's
with they start with an F.
Yes. But I go with the five pillars.
Okay, what is the pillars of what though?
It's of how you balance your life.
Okay.
Okay.
So family.
So the five pillars of life, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Finance, family, faith, future.
Future.
What's the fifth?
What's the last?
Sierra.
What?
You get it? Because future is here.
No, now. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go there. So, moving right along. Tomatoes.
Like, we all got it. It's just
I'm glad we all got it.
It ain't going stuck anywhere, but we got it.
You get it? Future, see? Yeah, okay, as long as we got it.
No, we got
today.
It.
Not today. Come
we
on.
We got it. It didn't go nowhere, but we got it.
Okay.
And fitness is the fifth.
Oh, okay, fitness. Okay, mm-hmm. Like mental and physical fitness.
Yes, both. Yeah, physical, spiritual, and mental.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the question?
So my question to you is: if you don't know, we can ask Charles this.
No, we can't. Why you keep deferring stuff to Charles?
I'm trying
to fill away.
Well, okay.
He gonna add his time.
Charles is trying to live his best life in the back.
Capable and beautiful, right here to answer all of our questions.
Oh my God!
You see this man right here? You see, this is why he cannot behave. Listen. All right. So, what are the four pillars? And for our audience.
Yes. So it is save 20%, send your money out to grow, protect yourself. What am I missing, Charles?
Damn, she still deferred to Charles.
I still did. But I told you I would because I don't remember all four and I have it on my phone. Pay yourself first. Send your money out to grow. Protect yourself. No, it's another one. It's four pillars.
Protect yourself.
One.
Send your money out to grow.
Two.
Send your money out to grow. Two.
Live within your means.
Live within your means is the fourth. Live within your means is the fourth. Yes.
Okay.
See, even he forgot.
All right. So I've seen this a lot on Instagram. Like the pay yourself first. What exactly does that mean? Pay yourself first.
So for me, that means I pay myself a percentage of some of my income before I pay my bills. So how I have it set up, or at least I have it set up when I work for the city, I have like a separate bank account, and I'll have payroll deductions come out of my paycheck to go straight to that bank account. And it'll be like 10% of my income or whatever. Mm-hmm. So this kind of goes back to my whole mantra of save your money so it can save you. So just as a single parent, and then I have a son who is 12. They're 12, but my son is huge. He is in man's clothes, right? Oh, so like, you know, shit happens. Like you said, we live in New York City. Shit always happening. Yeah. You're gonna always need money. So
yeah.
This is a little cushion for me. Like I know something happens. I got this account that I could just dip into and take care of what I need to. My car got to get fixed. The boy needs new shoes. You know, he broke his arm. My daughter needs this or whatever the case may be. So that's how I pay myself.
Okay. So let's help the audience. Let's help the audience real quick. You are an HR.
Yes.
And what do you do as far as your times from Monday through Friday and on weekends?
Okay, so I work, right? Right now we're home twice a week remote. We're hoping we keep that. So a lot of my life is my family. So if I'm not working, I'm troubleshooting things with my children. I have a dope family, so I don't parent alone. So I'm with my parents, my stepdad, my mom, my grandma, my sister. Like, I just always got shit to do, right? Because I'm kind of like what they call the one in the family. You know how every family got like the one?
Yeah.
It's like the one that everybody goes, oh, I need this. It'd be like the stupidest stuff. Like, oh, I don't know how to work my microwave. And it's like, I'm always troubleshooting stuff. So a lot of my time is doing stuff for other people. And in that, I've been trying to practice taking care of myself first.
Absolutely.
So now I'm on some shit like, if I don't want to do it, I don't got to do it.
The power of saying no.
Yes, I was speaking about that with Charles a few minutes ago. It feels good. He is. I can't wait for you to meet
him. Okay.
But yeah, that's what I do. And on the weekends, I like to have fun if I'm not doing stuff with the kids. So the Sunday school is one thing. I'm a part of the Education Council Board, so I was doing that with the district on my kids' school. I'm really involved with my kids and what they're doing and all that kind of stuff. You know, drinking, partying, chilling, wherever I could fit that in.
So the weekend's normally like day for you?
Depends on what I have to do. Like this weekend wasn't for me because we had to do family stuff. So okay. It depends, but I get my time in to have some fun.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So what time do you... Okay, so you get off, let's say, at like 5. What is your, like... So for me, my 9 to 5 is what I've learned and what I can learn in life. My real job for what I've learned, my real job is after my 9 to 5. Oh,
gotcha.
I like that.
You're 5 to 9.
There you go. Yes. So, parking that from Sunday school, what are, you know, are you educating yourself on for financial literacy for your real job after that?
So, I'm reading books, right? I'm learning about taxes right now. So, I've been doing my own taxes for a minute, and it's not as difficult as I thought it was. Mm-hmm. But it's also a great way to save money. We're going to go right back to Charles with that because he introduced that to us about learning about taxes. So, that's one thing I've been learning. So, I'm also looking into purchasing a home. But now that I'm in a space where I can do it, I don't have the sense of urgency to do it because now I understand the importance of making a good decision, right? So I do see a lot of people are buying homes right now, and it looks great. We're all homeowners, but I'm wondering, like, how much they pay for it. What's the interest rate?
I bet they got homes in New York?
Right. Yeah. I mean, they got got because when I've been doing my research from 18 months ago to now, the market is so saturated. Homes that are going for, like, $300 are going for, like, $500, right?
Yes.
So I do a lot of just trying to level myself up in my life and then sharing it with my fellow Sunday school people.
Okay. So when you said that you learn about taxes and it's not that complicated, you don't mind sharing with the audience what have you learned so far as far as taxes?
So we had talked about this. I guess we were off camera a little bit. Charles had kind of mentioned about you saying you wanted to start something, your own Starlight, maybe, in the fashion of, of was it Booker T?
Marcus
Garvey. And he had said you don't have to use your own credit to do that.
No.
And you would probably think, okay, so how do I get a biz credit? It's so difficult. It really isn't, right? It's literally just a matter of filing as a business entity and getting an EIN number from IRS, and you can get it for free, and you can go online and do it, right? So this is the things that we think are so difficult, but it really isn't. And that's a way for you to start your business, protect yourself, protect your personal credit, and build up your business credit.
So that's what else have you learned? Have you learned any tax codes, anything?
No, I don't have no tax cheat codes. Okay. Not off the top of my head, at least.
Okay.
But just learning little tricks like that, because that is how the other races, the other groups of people get rich. So because I know that, now I've learned how to build up my children's taxes. When my children are 18, they're going to have A1 credit, and they're going to have money in the bank because I put them underneath my business account, right? So now they're my business owners. I have them as a certain percentage of it, right? It's just little stuff like that. And I thought it was, how do they do it? And I can't remember. I said in the beginning I wanted to learn how to do these things, but no one was there to tell me how to do it. And you just think it's so far beyond you. You think it's far beyond you because no one's doing it that looks like you. At least you don't know nobody who's doing it look like you. Your mom not doing it. Your dad not doing it. Your cousin isn't. You only see the Jew people do it, and you ain't Jew. So it makes you feel away, right?
Yeah.
It goes back into that whole mentality Sam was talking about. So I think we kind of take away with that with Sunday school. This is the information. No, it's literally in this book. No, it's step one. 1A, B, like, you can do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And that's many things I learned in Sunday school. It's not as difficult as we want it out to be. I think they make us think it's difficult because they don't want us to do it.
Yes.
And you're, okay, so in your child, your business is a tax write-off, correct?
Yeah.
So, my quick question.
Hold on.
No, I don't even mind.
There you go.
So my question, from a standpoint of being a parent, basically doing everything for myself, is if to other mothers, what would you say would be things that you should be thinking about, especially to set your child off for a better future from this point, from your end?
I don't care how much money you make, how much your bills are, you can find a way to save money. Save your money so it can save you. That's the biggest thing. And start saving money towards your children, right? Find accounts and things that you can do that will, like, I have my kids' stuff in what they call a high yield wielding account, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm putting in a certain amount of money, and we're going to segue back into me paying off my car early, right? Mm-hmm. So, and changing the mentality. So just real quick, I was able to pay my car off early. I have been paying this set amount every month for my car for the past 4 years. Okay. So I know that I can afford that, right? Now I don't have to. So what I'm going to do with this extra money, quote unquote extra money, I'm probably going to spend it on some bullshit, another pair of Dunks, mm-hmm. go to Sephora.
What are Dunks?
Jake. Sneakers. How old are you?
He is not.
He's
hey, wait, listen. He's about to say the difference is he's not as, what's the word? Knowledgeable as some of these
things.
Listen,
that we I had
about.
A whole conversation
care.
About Key Mulan. Very knowledgeable.
Air Jordans.
He doesn't know much.
I'm not wrong. Can I put this for you?
He's the type of guy.
No offense to anybody who shopped there. Uh-huh. He's the type that got to go to Marshalls, get a pair of New Balances.
Oh, that's fine.
You know, and
but you should still know what it is.
No.
I've never heard of Docs.
Dunks. Not Docs.
I've never heard of Dunks.
You seen them? I guess.
You know what it is when you see it. You would know what it is when you see it.
You know exactly what they are.
You know a pair of Uptowns are?
So is it so well known that if I took like a pair of Dunks and went to Dunkin' Donuts, somebody would get the joke?
Nah, Ron. My mom knows it. My mom knows it.
You're like 3-0 with the joke. You just quit while you behind. Quit while you behind.
I do know Dunks.
Okay.
You know Dunks.
I have Dunks, if that helps.
Quit while you behind.
Sorry,
bro. Quit while
you behind. Stuff that you don't know what they're called.
Of course, there's tons of things that we've seen all over the place, and like don't know exactly what they are.
No, that's true.
Dang.
Yeah, it's true. But you warn them. You just say you warn them and don't know what they are.
All right. So, for instance, I never warned them.
You know what Chuck Taylors are?
Oh, I love Chuck Taylors. It's my favorite brand of sneaker. It's the only brand of sneaker I usually wear outside of the ball playing sneakers that I have on right now because
okay. I do play. Okay, next.
So.
All right, back it up.
Okay. Y'all funny. So. I'm enjoying myself. Thank you.
We try.
We try. I'm enjoying myself as well.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Next question, please.
So, like I was saying, instead I just reinvested the money that I was already used to spending every month for X amount of years. So, mm-hmm. I take that money and I just split it up and I invest it into my kids' fund, right? It's that kind of mentality of thinking. So, I think single mothers or just, not single mothers.
Just
single,
mothers just in general or parents.
People in general just adopt the idea of making your money work for you.
So, talk about high yield. For what you
just a higher interest rate.
That's it.
That's all it is.
In the bank account.
You got to be kind of, so okay. So just personally, I'm using Primerica, and our people are like, oh, Primerica, blah, blah, blah. But they have the best interest rates right now. And also, you just got to know what you're doing. You got to be around people that you trust. So this is what Sunday School does again. You know, we kind of just have people who do certain things. And I'm not telling you to use X, Y, and Z. I'm telling you to get to know them, get a feel for them. If you guys are on the same page, because even with your financial person, you got to have a relationship. Like, I got to be able to tell you what my goals are, and I need you to tell me what I got to do to meet those goals. So I was able to find that in someone.
I think relationship is a pretty good word to use.
It is. And relationship, all things are important, especially when you're interrupting people speaking. So that's one thing I would suggest doing. Find someone that you can trust and that is able to help you meet your financial goals, and be clear about what your financial goals are.
Let's go back to when you said you put your money into your kids' fund. Can you please explain that?
So it's a custodial savings fund, kind of like an IRA, right? But I think the interest rate is about at like 10%, and then we're going to go back into Charles again because that is the first thing that made me listen to him. The other guys on another call was like, you need to get on this call. Thursday night is 8:00. And I'm like, yo, I'm tired. Man, where am I going on no fucking call? right? So I didn't want to do it. So I'm like, oh, I'm probably going to be scrolling on the gram anyway. Let me just hop on a Zoom call. And the first thing Charles said in his meeting was, your kids could be millionaires by the time they're 18. And I jumped up. I dead jumped up. I was like, how? He said, the rule is 72. Well, what's the rule of 72? And that's what sparked all of this. And I didn't really get where to go, how to do it until probably like a year after I met him, because I had to do some research on what was the best option, who has the highest yielding accounts, blah, blah, because now I know, right? It's one thing to jump into it with good intentions. Take a step back and know what you're looking for first and then make the leap. Because once you lose your money,
That's it,
right? You got to lose some stuff, but you don't get into the business of losing. You want to gain. So you got to do a little research. But okay. Rule of 72 is what I would suggest.
What is the rule of 72?
Basically, how long it would take for you to get X amount in X amount of time, and what is the interest rate you would need to do that. So if I want to earn $1 million in the next 10 years, the rule of 72 is what interest rate I would need to get that goal. Okay. Maybe it's an interest rate of 8%. Depending on what I'm putting into it. Maybe it's an interest rate of 10%, depending on what I'm putting
into it. Yo, do y'all hear these balls right now?
I'm just warming y'all up.
The build up for Charles has me at the back of my seat.
Listen. We talk about, is this what the banks do?
With our money, yes, they do. Why you think they rich or we're not?
True.
So, my next question to when you talk about the rule of 72, is that go to with, does that go to as far as like, for the rule of 72, for your child, like when they turn 18,
you can implement that in anything, right? Your retirement fund, whatever. You can implement that in anything. Anything that's going to build interest, you want to put the rule of 72 in place because that's going to be your goal, right? Like I said before, you want to start with a goal in mind. Like we kind of lose money because we don't start with a goal in mind. So even when you're talking about the stocks. Like, let's say I had a goal, I want to reach $1,500 with this particular one. If I reach that goal and I see that I'm studying, it's going to go down, I might as well just get out while I hit my goal, right? So.
And that's my biggest problem. I never know when to pull out because, like, the stocks. All right, we're all adults here. Come on.
I wanted to laugh, but I just couldn't do it.
Because of his personality, you would take it that.
You would go that far.
I would never.
But keep going. Just keep going.
I would never go right in the point
that
you smile
and saying it too.
Thank you.
Because there was a pause that I realized when I said that.
From these people are gonna
I never know when to pull out.
I'm like, okay. Bro,
listen,
okay.
I'm childish.
So, I told you I'm from the side, though, so you already know. If I ask what you're doing, I'm leaning in. Watch my right.
All
right.
So the stocks go up and down, and when it goes really high, I'm like, oh my gosh, I should stay here because it's going to keep going up. And then when it goes down, I go, oh my gosh, I should sell before it gets even lower.
Yeah, that's like, people lose money because they're emotional investors. That's why I say you got to study it. So, okay, it's going to go up, then study the next time it goes down, and then study the next time it goes up. Be patient and watch it.
But like, when do you ultimately know to pull out? When do you know that's enough? The market is not going to do any better.
Like you said earlier, you have to study it.
Yeah, you have to study it. And then there's no right or wrong answer for it. Again, it's about what your goal. What do you want to accomplish when you bought this trade? Because if you're talking about something long-term, like for me, if I'm putting in a long-term investment, I'm not studying it when it's going in and out, right? Because I'm not trying to pull out for this for like 20 years. So I'm not going to stress myself, oh my God, it's up. Oh my God, it's down. Because my goal is long-term for this particular one.
That's like the name of the game of stocks anyway. It's going to go up and down regardless.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, interest rising.
It's really a form of gambling.
So like basically. A rising rate of interest, like it really does play a factor in how you like investing.
Yeah, yeah. The interest rates definitely does play a factor. And I'm learning so much every day. Your insurance, your life insurance, all these things. There's a lot of ways to be comfortable. If I knew this 20 years ago, I'd have been really, really straight right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a fact. I said that the same thing. If I knew what I now, like when I was in high school or college, I would have been so far
ahead
in
life.
Yeah.
If somebody told me,
I wouldn't have went to college.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I would have went, but I wouldn't have gotten to debt for it.
There you go.
If somebody tell me, hey, put $5 in GameStop. Trust me.
That's true.
Yeah.
But who was it to tell you when, right? And even somebody told you when to do it. Did they tell you how to do it?
And I'd be like, why?
Right. But then you're going to be like, okay, how?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because a lot of this is, you need to do this. How? How do I do it? How do I get in? How do I, you know, where do I get my foot in? Just don't tell me what to do.
Exactly.
How do I do it?
Because sadly, my mindset be like, well, fam, that's a bus ride. What are you talking about?
No, that's, you know what I compare it to? I compare it to, I'm about to out myself, but the woman I'm seeing.
Maybe, choose your words lately.
Right. No, so she has like.
The woman I'm seeing.
So she took my Instagram because I'm not big on Instagram.
The woman I'm seeing.
Your mom? She took your Instagram?
No. You know she's listening, right?
The woman I'm seeing.
The woman I'm seeing. You've been flirting with me the whole time.
What are we doing? We're having a good, nice, interesting conversation.
Check your dude.
Better check your car bills when you get home.
She took my Instagram one time, and because I'm not really that big on social media, she just took all the things that she valued and just put on my Instagram. It's all about like investing apps and stuff. And when I go through my Instagram now, there's like a bunch of nonsensical, if you want to be rich, you got to think about it first. You know, like a bunch of nonsense where you go, you sit there, you just go, what am I reading here? Why am I wasting my time? Like, I guess the real question I have for you then is like, how do I avoid those pitfalls for people just speaking in platitudes and really get some sound financial advice on how to do things?
Discernment. Discernment. Like, I mean, you know, there's no right or wrong answer for these things, because you just have to be smart enough to know when you're getting played and have enough knowledge to know when you're getting played, right? Isn't that what you teach us, Charles? Yes, he does. He teaches us.
Charles again.
He teaches us. I feel like kind of like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us.
That's what I'm
every time I mention him. But this is the mentality he teaches us. Just kind of like knowing enough to know when you're being played. You don't have to know everything, but you got to know enough when you're being played. And rule of thumb is, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. I'm not nobody on Instagram who up in my thing, yo, you can make $1 million. Really?
That's what I'm saying.
Right, but what I'm saying is, you should know that, because how they're making $1 million is people like you giving them money. Mm-hmm. So if 1 million people give them $1, they go to $1 million.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you know.
Please speak it.
Yeah.
Speak it.
So, what are your long-term financial goals? Like, with the investments and things that you're doing now, like, is your ultimate goal to become a millionaire?
My ultimate goal is to be comfortable, and I can't put like a number on that.
I like that.
Because I was like, I'll become a millionaire, and I can get $1 million and be like, damn, I need like $3 million. To live the way I want to live.
Because the way I look at it,
I'm glad she should know that.
The way I look at it, because to like a lot of people say they want to become millionaires, but then you get millionaire problems, and I don't want that.
You think Puff Daddy was right? More money, more problems.
Well, eventually, because the more things you want in life, and you know,
I think it depends on the more people know you have money. So and my mentality is, I want to be the millionaire next door. I don't like a lot of spotlight. I don't like a lot of fanfare.
Yeah.
I want to be in the background. Where Quanta at? She always in Barbados. She always in St. Lucia, because my house is out there.
Exactly.
My business. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want nobody to know I got it like that when I get
I just want to be that guy. Beautiful. I'll wake up one morning. I'll be like, I'm going to Tokyo.
Exactly.
And I'm just going for the month.
Yeah.
Come back and be like, where you been? Trader Joe's.
Exactly. Exactly. I stay tan because I'm never here.
So you got a house over here.
Yes, that's the plan. That's the plan. And collectively, we can do that, right? Like, we could, if we mobilize the way that we need to, we could have our own little timeshares within your group of friends. If everyone putting in their money together and they purchase a house in Barbados, the house is like $250,000. Y'all stay there different times. Y'all stay there together. Like, we could do this stuff. It's not hard. It's just that we don't fucking do it.
You said timeshare. Please break it down.
What I'm saying is it could be like the timeshare mentality, right? Yeah. Like, we all pitch in to buy this house, mm-hmm. and, like, you going to be there in July with your family. Okay, I'm going to come there at the end of July with my family. Like, we can make it so we're all paying for it. And let's say we take that same property, and when we're not there, we're Airbnb-ing it, and then we're all making money off it. Like, it's just... It's things that we can do,
like that,
but
too.
It's the mm-hmm. it's mobilizing the people to do it is the hardest thing. Because mm-hmm. we all got great ideas, it's about the execution of it.
Yeah.
People talk
yeah.
a lot of shit, but when it comes down to start putting it in motion,
yeah,
execution is work shit.
Yeah,
you see a lot of people have trust issues too. So, mm-hmm. yeah,
yeah, yo, I get that.
This is.
No, but it's very true what you said because let's hop on us for right now. Let's say this is my property in Georgia. Mm-hmm. You know, and disinvest into it. You know,
it's a right. real thing. I mean, yeah. if you can collectively, if all of you collectively have good credit, or you start a business like we talked about earlier, and that business has its own credit, but collectively we all own the business. I mean, theoretically, feasibly, you could actually buy a home in Georgia. It's just, I think for a lot of people, it's the idea of risk. And putting in your own amount of risk into an idea with anybody.
It's the unknown.
It's the unknown that prevents a lot of people from doing
Understood.
What they need to do.
Understood. No risk, yeah. no reward, though.
That's so true.
Are you going to go with the IHOP or no?
No.
That's the risk. The risk is
He's doing so good.
The reward is a great meal.
I don't think the lady you're seeing would enjoy that.
That we partially paid for.
I don't think the lady that you're seeing would enjoy that.
Okay. The woman I'm seeing. Thank Remember,
wow.
he said
wow.
that.
Wow, bitch. I regret my words. I immediately regret my words.
Not sis. If you're hearing me, sis, check your mans.
If
check
she texts us, meanwhile, I'm just like,
I regret that's my decision. You. I regret my decision.
Or in public, too. Where's the respect? Just check your mans, sis.
Okay.
You're so, not the, you know you're not the only one, right?
I know.
What? Yo, Rich. Rich, you're giving the game away. You're giving the game away. I
is
can't
anybody
believe it.
In this seat?
That's so not
you
true.
Know?
I mean, clearly, I didn't do that with Mr. Pan Africanism. There's a clear difference.
Whoa, hey, yo, now,
hey, yo,
we doing
you.
That?
What do you mean? I would like to think there's a clear difference. We don't all think there's a clear difference. One guy is in a suit and tie. We have a beautiful goddess right here sitting on the chair. You see the
you
difference?
You said guy? I'm not a guy.
Goddess.
Oh,
goddess.
Okay. I was like, goddess. I'm not a guy. Wait, hold on. I know mm-hmm. we're talking about some stuff, but I was born this way.
Ouch.
No. But thank you. But thank still, you. I don't think your lady friend would appreciate you inviting another woman to IHOP.
For a nice complimentary dinner that would be
Nah, right,
half
you know this
half
route.
Half and
you
half.
Know this route. You know the answer.
I'm taking that as a maybe. So, for the future. So, when it comes to future assets, you want to be one of those like quiet rich people.
Yeah. That's the plan. I don't like a lot of attention, personally.
Oh boy.
Troy is stressed.
I'm sorry for his...
It is fine.
He is the wild card in this podcast.
I told you. You know, wild. You know, everybody needs one.
It's like the boy never been outside before.
Wow. First of all,
I have that effect on him, and it's okay.
I believe it.
Yeah, it's
all right. All right, any more questions, everyone?
When and where?
Wow.
Huh? Oh, what?
We're still doing that. Oh.
We still doing
wow,
this?
Right? Just.
We still doing
oh,
this?
Oh, she's texting you. Get that.
I think that's HR. I think that's my time. Thank you very much. That's my time.
Time to go. Wrap it up.
Okay. So before we close it out, is there any final thoughts like to say for our audience?
Money is important. Money brings happiness. People who tell you money don't bring happiness, that's because they just don't want to live a life of abundance.
Right? Yeah, right.
Money makes life easier. Don't be afraid to earn it, especially sisters out there. Like, you know, it's cool. It's cool to be able to take care of yourself. And my final thoughts is save your money so it can save you. And come on Sunday school every second Sunday of the month.
How can we get to Sunday school?
So it's a Zoom. I'll be more than happy to share the Zoom with you.
Yes,
we're
please.
Also on Instagram, the Sunday School Experience, and then we also have a YouTube page, the Sunday School Experience.
Let's go.
I'm definitely gonna be checking that out.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen.
Listen, I'm serious about the collaboration now.
I know. I know you are. I know you are. And you've been, and I want to thank you for always supporting Sunday school. So since you've known about it, you've always been on.
Hold on. He know about this the whole time?
Wow, I didn't mean to out you.
Yes, I did.
Rich, the prime example of why black people can't collaborate together and rise economically.
That's why she's
he holds all the knowledge to
my ass. You have more money than me right now.
That's terrible.
That's why she's on this podcast.
He asked me. Rich is a secret
million. He asked me where we're going to travel.
See? But you're supposed to share the information.
I do share the information. Absolutely.
Because I am a doctor.
How can we reach you by a phone number?
Wow.
The Sunday school experience.
The Sunday 718.
The Sunday. The Sunday. What's you can call Charles's number there. He'll get you straight.
As a feminist, I believe in equality.
We're not doing this. Nah.
I believe having your number is the same as having Charles's number.
Okay. No, you know.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. I promise.
All right.
Nice meeting you.
Yeah. Okay, what's your social media?
Yes,
for our audience. For the audience.
So, for my personal social media is q.is.queen at Instagram.
So, you can find the link.
Q is queen. Q.is.queen. C-U-T-E. What?
I thought I heard. No, okay. It's Q. The letter Q.
Boy.
Oh.
Bam.
T-E?
Let her speak. Let her finish.
C-U-T-E-Q-T. No, Q.
Oh, Q. Gotcha.
The letter Q.
Oh.
So, like, Q is queen. Queen starts with Q.
Okay. It's an easy mistake to make.
Right. And it's also private, so I don't have to accept everyone.
You see that hand of yours right there? You could just, like, smack it in the back of the head one time.
Oh, we don't have to do that.
You know, just a little.
She's from Bedside. I'm cautious. I'm very cautious.
Yeah,
you
apparently
know.
Not.
You know, you get right
real quick. Oh, okay. He wouldn't realize. Be so fast.
Oh, my God.
I could get Chris rocked.
You certainly can.
Oh, wow. That's fast.
on that note. On that note.
Thank you, everyone.
The camera knows.
On that note, thank you very much.
I'm pausing it. I'm done.
On that note, everyone, thank you very much.
This is my first podcast experience.
First time ever doing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
See you.
Yes. So,
Did you really shut the camera off?
She about to put him in a headlock.
This is HR.
I really
shut the camera.
Get
him. Behind the scenes, thank you very much. And it was a pleasure having you. You know I'm editing this, right? Onto here. Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Well, damn.
All right, y'all. That is it. We are out.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem.
Thank you for listening. If you like this episode, please, I really appreciate if you subscribe to the podcast, whether you are on YouTube, Anchor, iHeartRadio, Spotify, please subscribe, give it a like. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. Thank you for listening.